Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Okay, hello everybody. This is Robin Tate Bongo the Sane here from the Overseas Connection podcast. We are recording a special EGX 2017 podcast with nine people, including myself. We have Chris and Robin and Pilch from the Boss Wave. We've got Stu and Chinny from the Veteran Gamers, and Antonio and Andrew from Yap. And of course, our sound technician tonight is my son, Joshua.
I'm also representing the Entertain Nerds. I'm not leaving them out.
Oh, yeah. Well, Entertain Nerds sadly couldn't be here tonight because So we have, this is day two of the show, my first full day. Most of us, sort of first full day, and we have been around. As per usual, we haven't really played that many games. We've had a look at a lot of stuff. We've laughed at people, cosplayers, and bits and pieces. And I suppose tonight we're just going to talk about our impressions of the show and anything that we have played and anything of interest, and talk a bit about what we're going to do tonight. One thing before we start, I want a big shout out to Mark Wright from the Overseas Connection, who couldn't be here because of illness in the family, and my heart goes out to you, sir. I wish you were here. Anyway, for me, walking around the show, it struck me this year is that this seems to be a very, very family-orientated event. I've never, ever seen as many kids or as many families or mums or girlfriends around. And I just think that's a sign that the industry is getting very, very mature now. And it has become something that's it's really cool and accessible for loads of people. And it's amazing. I mean, you think 8, 10 years ago, when this all started, girls were here under duress, generally. And now, not only the cosplay stuff, but just girl gamers sitting, playing from board games through to video games, sitting and seeing, hear them getting excited, going up to stuff, going, wow. So that's cool. So, all right.
It's clearly demonstrated by the diversity in this room. Nine white guys.
It is.
That's Robin from the Busway. Yeah. Okay, so look, we'll just spin round. For me, big family event. The thing that struck me most of all, that Switch and Nintendo seemed to be really ramping their game up for pre-Christmas, and almost surprised at how much support they have from third-party developers. So that was sort of me. It's a big show, a lot of ground, a lot of walking. You definitely get your steps up and your Fitbit today. Good event. I look forward to running in tomorrow and playing some stuff. Chris, what do you think?
I'm enjoying it, yeah. I think last year was a bit weird with Sony turned up in full force, but not so much Nintendo and Microsoft. So, yeah, as you say, having all the Switch stuff there, there's a few of the guys here have just got Switches, and looking forward to seeing things come out on the Switch. And it's good to see a lot of new games, a lot of small games that are there, you know, planning to go to Switch, and some confirmed, some not. But there's a lot of the smaller guys out there have got Switches at their stands, so
Switch,
you can pick them up.
Bitches!
So yeah, you can pick up a Switch, you can play it, you can try it out. So that, for me, that was really good to see. But yeah, on the whole, the show's cool, you know. It is what it is, but I think for a lot of the guys here, it's mostly just so that we can rock up together, piss about, have some fun, and share a common interest. And
orgy party, like.
And laugh at people, and the orgy
party. Yeah. Literally. Antonio and Andrew, what did you think?
The queues are bigger than ever.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a problem.
Shadow War has got the longest I've ever seen it. 5 hours if you want to play that game. That's what it was this morning. 5 hours if you want to play Shadow of War.
When does Shadow of War come out?
October, I think.
Next month.
Yeah. You see, there's a balancing act about, is it worth it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
The answer is no.
I don't know about you guys, but I kind of feel there's a big lack of colour, because I used to know where Microsoft was and Sony was, because there's a big ray of green or blue. And there isn't really that this year, in my opinion. They have their own little squares, but I had no idea what was what from far away.
Every year you get the, you know, the PlayStation symbols, they fucking get them out of the garage and go, alright, let's polish them up and put them out. And they're hidden away this year. Like, usually, like, Microsoft and Sony are right next to each other and they're, like, you know, throwing rocks at each other.
Everything's hidden away a bit more because there isn't an 18 area. So there's a few areas where they put walls to...
Yeah. So all the games that they can't show are in, like, enclosed booths, which makes it really fucking difficult when you've got to film them secretly.
Yeah.
But it means it hides everything a bit more because you can't just, like, look over everything.
I almost got caught filming Mario, but lost it.
What, the cosplayer one?
Yeah.
Joshua, this is your second trip to EGX. What did you think this year?
It's a lot bigger.
Definitely. Better show this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. And you've seen people that you know... from your sort of community stuff, from Discord stuff I got there as well, which you'll hopefully hook up with tomorrow. So
yeah,
social media is big. It's just, again, amazing how many people do stuff like this and how much recording equipment and lighting equipment I've seen this year. People,
and that's just Chinny.
Yeah, it's just Chinny, yeah.
It's a bit of a sore subject, actually. Yeah.
It is. Dropped the credit card off at Curry's this morning.
Do you think we'll talk about it? Shall I talk? Yeah, we had to raid his office. Andy hasn't got in yet. Literally typed slide in if you can at the end. Thank you. Come on, Andy, your first time in a room like this with us. Yeah, so get your dick out. Yeah, everyone else has. Stick it in. No, I was just going to add on a little bit more about how it's not very visible at all what's where. So really you can only tell by the colour of the carpet, you know, like you barely even see that because there's a bunch of people standing on it. You're just like, oh, is that the Xbox bit? Green. Okay.
Yeah. It's only the carpet, though. You can tell what area the thing is. Yeah, you're right.
Well, it's confusing that in Ubisoft there's a big red carpet area where they've got Mario and rabbits.
Yeah. Yeah, that is confusing because you do feel like you're in the Nintendo area and you're like, Ubisoft. Oh, shit. Yeah. Like Far Cry 5 is next to Mario. What's that about?
But the only reason you're at the Nintendo area is because 90% of the people there have got their stupid Mario hats on, so it's a bit of a giveaway.
I suppose it is odd because you've got South Park with fractured butthole in the entries to it.
I just got that in a
kiddies area.
I think what's kind of interesting with that also is that, as we were saying, most of the 18 games are all boxed off, and that isn't, and it's probably got the most graphic stuff
it's not
on
that
the screen.
Boxed off, is it?
No, it's visible to anyone, really.
I think it's the most open app, any of them, really.
Yeah.
Because you can see them all, it's just wherever they were, they're all spread out. It's a big area.
So, Stu, you're a veteran.
I am.
Eurogamer, EGXer. Here we are again.
We are. Yeah.
I mean,
for another year.
Yeah, and for me, it's more about this and tonight and last night rather than the games. And it's nice to see the games, and it's nice for me, the merch. I love the merch. But
it's becoming, but you're right, though. I mean, it is nice, all that stuff, but it's becoming increasingly more difficult to play the games.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you can't be, you, it's like the Alton Towers of video games, isn't it? I mean, 5 hours to play a game for 10, 15 minutes.
Oh, there's an inappropriate joke there about getting your leg cut off.
Yeah.
But I ain't going to do it. I ain't better than that.
Yeah. Hey, there's a point when you bring up Alton Towers and Disney and Universal. Would you pay an extra tenner for a or 20 quid for a fast pass?
Yeah, don't.
I fucking would.
It's gonna happen.
Rub
it
in
the face. It's gonna happen.
What, a press pass? That don't give you
press pass means nothing.
For the listeners, Chinny just ripped it off his neck and threw it on the table like
it's
a piece of shit.
Just
anything and threw it across the room.
I mean, going back to that, in the very early
Josh, keep that, I need that back.
the first one we went to at Earl's Court, if you had a press pass, you got in for an hour before anyone else. There was no one else in there. You just came in on your own. And you did get a chance to play the games before the rest of the public
came
in.
Even here, a couple of years ago, press pass holders got in.
I don't think it's ever meant that much, really.
Well,
like, we've had one every year. It never means
anything. Especially with this, because, I mean,
I don't really feel this
is about discovering games.
Well, when has anything ever been announced at Eurogamer or EGX?
I mean, even in the little sweaty corridor with all the indies, there was even games there that had been already released.
Yeah. And on Xbox as well. There wasn't as many... stuff that was rattled together last night in there, which you would usually find.
Gangbeast was
there.
There's
a lot of
old
stuff.
Is that the third and fourth year that's been there?
It's more of a social now, isn't it? It's like, oh, Gangbeast.
So, Robin, we've heard you, so I mean, you're very
miserable.
Precise about your analysis about shows and games and everything else, so, you know, you moaned today.
Oh, yeah.
The first thing you said to me was, there's nothing here. It's really small. It's really...
I think there's a lot here, but it's very spread out.
Yeah, I think there's a fair amount. It's just there's not that much I'm particularly interested in. It's, yeah, like you said, more about this kind of thing, meeting up with people. Mm. So yeah, there was nothing I was particularly bothered about playing.
And Mike, finally. Oh shit, Felch.
Oh, that's it. There's everyone asking me. I just come for a beer and a chat.
But you were ready to go. I mean, at one point today,
I could have gone at. I got in at 10. I could have probably gone home at 1. I was done.
Were that interesting, huh?
No, that's what I mean. I
like a 4-year-old kid. Where are we going now? Where's my ice cream?
I would happily just come up. Like, if I could have got up last night, I would have come up, gone out for the meal, had a laugh, and then gone home again. I don't need to go to EGX at all. I'm only going because all you lads are there.
That's funny. I would send a Chris. Send a Chris on the way out. The bicycle show is on at the moment as well. And there's some dad there today has brought his young 10 or 12 year old kid along. And you know, so excited to go to see this bike show. And the kid has come in and seen all these people going to a video game show. And the kid has probably done a strop that he probably wanted to go in.
They're walking out with all this swagger. He comes away with a puncture repair kit.
The other thing I noticed last night, which I thought was kind of cool, there seemed to be a school group. So yeah, some of the kids.
Japanese?
No, no,
that's
just
one of the most racist things you've ever seen.
Yeah, it is.
No.
Is
that racist or sexist?
I just want to say it.
No, it was a school group.
He's
a school group, yeah.
Yeah.
They just
we used to get taken to Lake Windermere. I mean, how cool
was
it?
Tellers was ours.
We went to Hartlepool Power Station like every year.
See?
Now
see,
you get
this
to
fascinating.
This is fascinating, people.
Okay, games that you've played today that you really liked or that stood out. So anybody play any big AAA stuff?
Yeah, we played some, but not much, didn't we? South Park. Everyone plays. Did everyone play South Park?
Yeah.
Is Lucky's Tale a triple A?
That was my biggest shock of the show so far. I really liked Lucky's Tale.
So did I.
Lucky's Tale
was
good.
Yeah, it's a nice little platformer.
It's a kid's game, isn't it? I mean,
look at me.
I played it too, and it was running on an SDK kit for an Xbox One X. Not that it mattered, because it's not that sort of game. But it was crisp. But even though that didn't have the TV set up properly. But it was a cute little platformer. And I don't know if it'll come up to Mario standards, but
it was nice enough. I mean, I'm not the target audience. So.
Yeah, so ukulele fans will, and that sort of thing will like that. Banjo fans will like Lucky.
Hey, I played through Banjo. That doesn't make me a fucking
you
fan
hate
of Banjo.
It. Never going to hear it ever.
Okay,
that
so,
last boss. Fuck EGX. That last boss. No, okay, sorry.
So, South Park. I really enjoyed the first one. Played it late. Has it changed much?
No, it's
no.
South Park.
No,
it's just
the combat's the
it's
only
just,
different
yeah,
thing.
Combat is like a group-based combat, so you move around. I don't know. I don't like turn-based games anyway because they're terrible. But like, I think it's okay. It's like it's fixing a problem that didn't need to be fixed for me. It's like turn-based. It was fine. You play South Park because you want to see like the inappropriate jokes. You know, when like your mom and dad are having sex in the bedroom in the back. And
you
want to
see a coon.
That's South Park.
That's what I
want
to say.
That's PewDiePie territory.
See, I bought official merchandise from Ubisoft today, so it can't be racist.
No.
This is called this is the coon.
What the viewers can't see is you're holding up a gollywog.
I'm on one of those. Tara has a gollywog. She loves it.
There's actually only a C on it. Does it actually say it?
No,
are you making this up?
It does say
in the stand it said...
It's in a small print.
Cartman's character is called the Coon. The Coon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is
but it's because he's a raccoon.
Yes.
But obviously,
yes.
It's...
Yeah. Because I was saying, like, you know, I went up to the till today, can I have the C word thing? And I said, God, everybody today is so politically correct. What do you want? You want a coon?
Yeah.
Okay.
How
much?
But the South Park is all about like the inappropriate jokes, all the funny stuff. So the turn-based combat was never the problem for me. I never played the old South Park.
But
this needs to be
but
fixed.
It's the fans' fault because people complained it wasn't complex enough or deep enough or more interesting.
Yeah, but for me, who hates turn-based
same,
combat,
I'm totally with you.
That was fine.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was fine. Like, the funny, the demo was funny.
It was
know?
Funny.
It was wrong.
It was totally inappropriate.
Inappropriate.
But
it's South Park.
Yeah, well, South Park do it to point out how bad we are at this.
I'm not doing it to be racist
or sexist. They point out how ridiculous the world is.
And, you know. I do think the lap dancing mini game went on slightly longer than it could have needed to have gone on.
I thought it was right.
It's
fine.
We'll do some more tonight as well, so don't panic.
Did you use just your thumb or do you go palm? Because I went palm. I went palm in, man. I went
what
all
the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, for the lap dancing,
the lap dancing mini game.
Okay, so
you have to rotate the stick.
Not too long because you finished already halfway through.
Other big things you could play would be, and you know, you were in the queue and you came away, Antonio. Which Assassin's Creed Origins is a big AAA, which we'll get at tomorrow. Battlefield 2. I don't think any of us got to today. I think we're going to rush.
Battlefront.
Two.
Slip the tongue.
It's going to be the same as the other one. I'm not queuing up.
Me and Josh are going for it.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
I think tomorrow morning we're going to dive for some Battlefront.
Yeah, boy.
What else big is here?
Detroit. We played Detroit yesterday.
Oh, yeah, Detroit.
Detroit.
Yeah.
The room you call a human.
It's the room.
No.
Gran Turismo.
David Cage. It was good. The actual detective stuff was a little bit. It was the same as Heavy Rain, wasn't it?
Well,
it's basically like,
well,
here's a dead body, click on these things that are on this dead body, and this percentage number goes up of how
like,
much
the more
she information
at,
you found.
And wasn't it
the
like
better chance of saving this little girl.
Wasn't it like in the demo, it says, oh, you better fucking hurry up. But
no, yeah, no, well,
yeah,
there's
police officers getting capped in the head, and you're just like looking at stuff.
Yeah,
like, trying to work out what the fucking controls are.
There's a guy
that's no one tells you.
Like, oh, no, Dave's dead. And you're like, wait a minute, I've got to look at this magazine on this fucking counter.
Oh, that's interesting. So he did know the victim.
No, you see. I played it as real life because what I did, I went, fuck that shit, because someone's about to die on the rooftop, I need to get out there, you know, fuck all this looking at shit. And I got pretty much the same ending as nearly everybody else,
except
but my
for
demo
Chris.
I got a different
except ending. For Chris. And my demo took like 8 minutes and I was done.
Well, I was between the Lewis Danson and the crew together today, and there's three of them played it, and all three of them got three different endings.
Okay.
So,
Dan made the royal fuck up, didn't he? Because what he did, he had 99% probability of saving everybody, you know, getting the best ending, and then he fucked up the quick time event, and the girl died.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I didn't get any quick time events.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
But I mean, is it going to be another David Cage?
It's all flash and no pan. Honestly, it's just like. All flash and no bang. Sorry, it's just like no. It's all pretty looking, nice graphics, soft focus, blah 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 blah. But the dialogue was terrible. The kids' audio was terrible.
I don't think the dialogue was that bad.
Like,
I think
the kid
harsh.
Was like, "I'm begging you, please don't kill me." Like, no child speaks like that. Like a normal child would just be like, "Fuck!" You know, like that's how kids talk.
Maybe the child is an android.
We don't know.
And was she still worth saving?
I didn't like it.
So what you're saying is the more you play it, the shittier it gets.
It's not going to be as good as Heavy Rain then, no.
I've got to say though, I did think the dialogue and the voice acting was pretty good.
I thought it was
Heavy Rain in space. It's going to be good. Well, that's what you're going to tell Duke at least.
Yeah, of course we
just
are.
Just to get it to play it.
Alright, so what other big stuff did we go do today? Destiny 2, people were queuing up for.
Why?
I don't honestly get that.
Same reason you guys got in the PUBG queue.
PUBG, yes,
fucking willies.
But that is the Xbox version, so we're going to see if it runs alright on
the
Xbox.
PC.
Yeah, on the PC.
An hour and a half queue to try a shit version of a game.
No, I don't have an Xbox. What do I want
another
shit
thing
for?
Oh, you only got one. Oh, you want to get back.
Actually, I've got two at the moment.
No, here's a funny thing. This time last year, I had pre-ordered a... PSVR.
Oh yeah, how's that going, mate?
I no longer have it.
No,
I mean,
Stu, how's yours?
I no longer have it.
Oh,
yeah. Who's got
really?
His PlayStation?
You know, weirdly,
don't worry, we'll play loads of the new VR games that are here today.
Weirdly, they had the biggest PSVR thing I've ever seen there.
That wouldn't
huge.
Be comfortable on your head.
No, it was massive. No.
30 it would be comfortable on his head.
Mahusif.
There's no, the VR's fucked, right? VR's dead.
It was dead before it started.
It was dead.
Yeah, I don't know. I do feel like it's lost momentum somewhere.
Yeah,
along
it feels
the way.
Like the it feels like the Vita. If you look
they
at
fucked
it, there's no AAA games on the VR. It's all indie stuff.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's exactly the same as how
yeah. I think the other problem is it's been out for like. A year nearly now. It was October, wasn't it, last year when it launched?
October, November.
And there's still not the killer app or the killer game on PSVR that people are waiting
super
for.
Hot VR. Well, I mean, that's Resident Evil 7, right? Is that not a killer app?
Kind of, I
yeah,
guess.
They did it. They proved it. They made a proper game on VR
and then
no one's playing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be fair though, no, they did some stats and it was about 20% of people played it on PSVR.
Good luck with that. Can't feed your family on that.
Well, yeah, but how much did they play?
Don't know, but there's about 20%
yes, there was some Oculus stuff there today. There was some of the other, what's the other one called?
HTC Vive.
Yeah, the Vive was there. There was, Sony did have Super Hot VR.
That looks cool in VR. I would love to play that in VR. That would be my preference to play that game. And actually, no one else is, but Skyrim VR, I would be interested to see how that works with both the controller
it'll
and with the
be
move.
Shit.
That's what you say, but I'd love to try it.
It'll be shit.
Someone, actually, I remember reading or hearing someone talk about it, and basically, it's got the, you know, like, move by increments movement system.
Oh, really?
There was a side-scrolling brawler that worked in VR. They said the combat was fruity, horrendous.
Oh, bloody zombies.
Yeah.
Well,
we actually asked them how it worked, because we didn't understand. But again,
last year you had to queue for an hour to play even the smallest VR game, and you could pretty much walk on to play that shit. So there is lots of that if you want
to
see.
We need to talk about Fruity Shooty.
We didn't play it,
but me and Rob did watch it for 5 minutes.
Well, you did.
Andy did play
it. He was watching it.
Yeah, okay.
So Fruity Shooty is a PS. No, is it PSVR?
I think it's an Oculus.
Oculus.
Yeah. So it's you're basically just swiping things on the checkout while also shooting fruit coming at you.
It's
pretty simple. It's fruit really hectic
with a gun.
Like,
has the fruit got legs and faces and shit?
It's got faces, not legs.
Yeah. You're standing in a shop.
No legs.
And,
I really want to play
a shop.
It looks fun as hell.
And your food's coming down, tins and things are coming down.
You've got to keep scanning, otherwise, you know.
You've got to scan it, but while you're scanning it, you have to pick up guns and shoot fruit that's coming towards you.
There's so many.
Where is that supermarket? The guy who was playing it, he was in there for about 20 minutes. He's fucking loving it. It was like scan, 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 bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
Well, that's all VR is, though. It's just like standing still, shooting stuff.
Yeah,
like,
there's no sort of solid in-depth game yet, is
there? I mean, the problem is all of these kind of gimmicky things like Kinect and all of the other stuff. Everyone thinks about it based on the idea of, oh yeah, what would it be like if a AAA game worked in this, or like, if you could have a first-person shooter working in this. It just doesn't work.
It's like trying to shoehorn something
in the system.
So basically,
you have to have games that are built very specifically for them. You can't take stuff that's built on something else.
Yeah. I would be interested in trying that Farpoint with the weird plastic dildo gun thing. That looks fun, but. You don't know what it's going to be like.
Super Hot's really twitch, really fast. I can't imagine how that would be fun.
It's like being in Matrix, I imagine, leaning backwards.
They did have Gran Turismo
Sport.
There's a couple of people playing that. They had the wheel and the proper seats.
And there was
the
a bucket beside them ready to get
sick.
I think racing games are probably alright because you actually just sat there. Aren't
if
you,
they
so.
Get the frame rate and stuff right, because some of the stuff that they put on the PSVR, what's that?
Obviously,
we could only see what was on the screen, so you could see from the driver's perspective of what they were playing, but what they were looking at, how that looked.
We don't know, do we?
Because unless you play it, you can't
tell. I wish I'd tried a few more games.
There seem to be some more augmented reality stuff starting to appear more and more. Again, you had to sort of look for it, smaller developers, but they seem to be there. And weirdly, a very, very beautiful. Very simple game for TV. Apple TV today?
Oh, that.
Aria. It was like a Flappy Bird thing.
Flappy
but
Bird.
It was beautifully done.
It was very nice.
But
it's a very nice Flappy Bird.
Yeah,
it's going to be available on. I spoke to the guy. It's going to be available on tablets as well. So it's not just on Apple TV. So it is available on other stuff. And he did say he'd only brought it on that just to show what could run on an Apple TV, so that's why he had it on that.
I think like what developers are doing, indie developers in particular, are looking at platforms that are not oversaturated with so much garbage. And I was talking to one of the indie developers. What's that game with the split screen?
Dimension Drive.
Dimension Drive.
Game of the show.
Well, it's all right, but I'm going mad. I was saying to him, and he said, I think it was something like 70 games got released on the same day on Steam. Like it was all like indie games and stuff. He's like, how can you compete?
Well,
there was a
graphic
day.
Recently where the games released in 2017 so far is the same as the games released in about 2011 to 2015 combined.
Wow.
Yeah. I think, didn't they say like that 40% of all the games that have ever been released on Steam got released in like the last year?
Yeah.
So we spoke to the developer from Forgotten Anne, and he was saying, the game's ready to go. But we just don't know when to release it because there's no window that's free.
So I think indie developers now, they're looking at the platforms like Apple TV, that another place, or
Switch.
Nintendo Switch, and going, you know what? People are buying Switches, they're selling well,
even though everybody's wrong if they don't like them, me and Chris, well, what? And, you know, let's put it on there. Because me and you, I look on that store now, on the Nintendo, I'm begging for new games on there, and Bongo as well. And obviously, I'm desperate because I have to buy Sonic Mania. Right.
Everyone knows you hate Sonic, because Sonic shit.
I put it on Twitter, it's like Romeo and Juliet, I like Mario, Tara like Sonic, and you know, I have to keep
it. So you murdered it.
So I'll kill myself.
I don't think that's how Romeo and Juliet goes.
We're not going to discuss the plot of Romeo and Juliet. Right? if you want to discuss that later on,
maybe it's more Macbeth, but this isn't the Shakespeare podcast.
All I know is that Leonardo DiCaprio smashes it,
hits an iceberg, fucking is awful, horrific.
Yeah.
The game. What was the game you were playing? The two-player one that was very minimal graphics, but was the actual
voice. I don't know.
I thought it was called Flat Heroes, wasn't it?
Flat Heroes. Yeah. So it's like Super Meat Boy, N plus type shit, and you have to dodge the bullets.
Plus with Flat Stanley.
All right.
You're too young.
Super Mario Odyssey.
Yes, we played that.
I played Mario.
We played that.
It was good. Did you play Mario?
I played it.
I cannot wait.
Yeah.
But
Josh was not impressed.
Why were they using two separate Joy-Cons? So you didn't use any controller. It was the two Joy-Cons like freely. I found that really hard to do, like, precise platforming.
The other issue was the camera.
They were literally free held, so they could show off the motion control parts of it.
That's a move for me, because there's two people talking at the same time!
Sorry, Josh, you were saying all this rude bugger was talking to be racist.
Sorry, what were you saying?
Just camera was a bit different than normal Mario games.
Okay, but was it? There's talk about it being a bit weird that it's like this cartoon character in a real world, sort of.
You go around the city looking for people that don't have hats. So if they don't have a hat, you can lob a hat on them, and they'll like unlock it like a mini air. Like you have to run out, control this car, and you have to get moon fragments before it starts.
Oh, of course.
And then you have to get moon fragments. And it's basically all Mario's about is dicking about, trying to work out how you get from A to B, and that's why it's so good, because it's so clever, it's fucking class.
Did you see his breasts?
Yes.
Did you try and milk them with the motion?
No, apparently there's a scene where Mario is topless, and he's on a belly button, and he looks like a little baby.
He's going, oh, wow.
Oh, see,
he's a bit weird. He doesn't know what that's all about.
He doesn't have nips, but I don't hear a belly button.
If
he's
got motion controls, does that mean you can't play it with
No, it's optional. It's optional.
It's Mario Galaxy,
Yeah,
there would be a good
thing. Yeah, but you had some about them.
Yeah, you had your weird nunchucks of that, and that works.
Just as long as you can still play it while they're still
connected.
No,
you can't. The waggle was throwing your cap, but it was way easier just to press the button.
It was the same as like Twilight Princess. You could swing your sword by swinging the thing.
It's just a novelty. Mario obviously was wicked. I got no issues, no worries. I'm going to get it day one. No problem. Bam. In.
A lot of people were also queuing up today for Uncharted Lost Legacy.
Really?
For ours.
Maybe it's Xbox players.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Really?
It's not a big queue though. So if you're walking around going, I'm not going to jump in a fucking 4-hour queue for like Shadow of Nonsense. So I haven't played this Uncharted thing.
People talk about this shit, it's probably just people trying it out.
So
the good thing about it as well, I mean, it really is a no-brainer. For £25, it is the bargain of the year, really. Because it's a really excellent
It's got your seal of approval.
It's got my seal of approval.
But going back to the queues, which is pretty important, like, if you stay away from the AAA games, which, like I said earlier, like, most of them are either out, they're going to be out very soon, or you know what it is, i.e. it's another Assassin's Creed, or another Call of Duty. If you just go to the smaller games, the indie games, or not just the smaller games in general, like, there isn't a queue. You go, you look at it, there's a dude playing it, wait till he finishes his 5 minutes, and then you're on.
So
you can play 20 games
and
wait for 20 minutes.
And over the last 3 or 4 years, we've got to know the raging justice.
Yeah.
People made those
raging
donor.
Yeah.
Hilch wants to talk about this game.
Yeah,
we've got a game I've never played at EGX.
It's been here 2 years.
So is it your game or the shell pills? That's the question.
Well, it'll have to
be. Because 2 years ago when we were there, Anna, was very, very pregnant.
Maybe.
It's interesting that that whole development process, because the people were there, and the baby came along, and they had to drop everything.
Yeah.
So they dropped
it. In the bag.
Kick! That's so we'll get that move into the game.
Yeah.
And they dropped everything for a year, but now Rage Injustice, which is a Streets of Rage sort of homage, is ready to go, and they're just waiting for certification to see if it's an 18. It's an 18. And it's coming out on Xbox and PC very, very, very soon.
Number two is like Xbox Play on Analog Digital Game that are going out on the Xbox.
Yeah, but then it didn't tell you what it was.
Yeah,
nah.
So yeah, we saw it. Should be out on Xbox in a couple of months.
She said that 2 years ago.
2 years.
They don't want to. They want to finish it before they bring it out, but they might add some online
multiplayer.
But apart from that, he said it's ready to go.
It's brilliant.
It rattles home how hard it is to make a game.
It's just him on his own.
Years.
Over
years.
It's
brilliant. He's so passionate. He thought, as I said, it's going to run on my PC. What sort of specs is it going to be? He said, fine. So what about what it might mean? Pretty low specs. And he got his phone out. He said, but he had it running on his phone.
It worked on the tablet last time we played it.
He's got it with touch controls working. They're not releasing it yet in that state, and I'm not sure I'd want to play it like that. But they had the proper arcade machine, that's the best of it though.
They
constructed an arcade machine that looked professional and everything, had it all set up.
It
looked all nice, but then the system crashed, and he was like, oh, it's embarrassing. But he said, yeah, it's basically running my son's old laptop, stole it off him,
oh,
using it from the arcade.
So it's a good menu.
It's great. I love these sorts of games. But
me and you played this 2 years ago, and I was genuinely mad when you started doing the friendly fire.
The problem.
And I said, "Come on, Chris, let's do it." And me and Chris spent very little time punching the AI. We were just
battling. If you grabbed one of the AI characters, it was basically so you could throw them.
Yeah,
it
is Streets of Rage.
Yeah,
it
is.
It's Streets of Rage.
We made some progress. We took down the bad boy. Yeah. Yeah, you can throw on the floor, stamp on the face.
It almost got a
sort of claymation look to it, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't like playing old shit, but this looked really up.
So, let me ask you, Pilch, does this convince you to buy it? Are you going to buy this game?
I'll buy it, yeah.
Oh. Look at that. She's got a
sale. It's got a Pilch seal of approval.
Yeah.
Ching, money in the bank.
Yeah, there are some cracking smaller games there as well. I'm not even in that. There used to be Sweaty Tunnel. But there was stuff there like, was it Raiders off the Broken Planet?
But that just looked like a Gears of War ripoff.
I know, but it's B-tier and written. You know, you have little small.
Even the way the characters moved, and I know I'm like sort of giving it a bit of shit for that, but it may be quite a good game, but it just feels weird to see something that looks so much like another game.
You're right, yeah, okay.
And even the movement, the character models.
It did look quite good,
but it just felt. I was just like, it's Gears of War. Someone's just made Gears of
War.
What
are you talking about? Like,
it was called Raiders of the Broken Planet.
Yeah. But there was nice stuff there. Like,
it's free to play, apparently.
Yeah. Figment,
free to play game.
Figment as well, with a lovely, beautiful platformer. Lots of
are
awesome
you
point,
I saw your points to
that. Yeah, I thought that looks really, really nice.
Sometimes I don't know if you're being serious, but you go, oh, that looks really good. Because sometimes you do that, and it's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. We haven't mentioned the game of the show,
okay.
Josh.
What was the game of the show?
Rotoring.
The best game. The sequel's a line wobbler.
It is. Well, it is quite funny. I was speaking to the developer of this. Just to explain what this is. Basically, it's two circles of LED lights. And one of the LED lights is dim. There's no light on it. And you basically got to get your light into the black spot on the ring.
So what else did anybody play?
Okay. Well, Josh, what did you think? Come on, you played
it.
It was good.
Yeah,
I watched you play it for about 20 minutes. And then... For another 20 minutes.
Yeah,
it's
infuriating.
Yeah,
if you ever come to a guest and you hang around with Stu, when he jumps on the game, he does not think about, oh, there's people behind him, people might want to move on. He just fucking sits down and chugs on.
And even if it's not a very good game, you'll still play a good 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I want to give it a go. But yeah, Rotoring, and I was speaking to a guy, and he was influenced by Line Wobbler. That's what made him make this game. Different guy, but he saw Line Wobbler at some show he went to, and he's like, I could make something like that, and that's what he made.
Yeah,
I mean, he showed us the back of it where he'd done all the
soldering
thing.
He had to solder he has sold a few of them, but he wants €500 per game, but they're made to order. He's making them to order.
That seems cheap, actually. It's a pub game.
It's not for the arcade cabinet, just the
just for the basically yeah, just
it's like an analog, dial
just for the thing and the controller.
It's an analog dial in a nice little wooden box with one button, and that's all it is to make the thing jump from the artist.
But it's just before we move on, he is making another game that he's going to make.
Has he got squares in it rather than circles?
No, this is going to be like thumper bosses in LED lights in a big bit at the top, and the controller will be a drum because it's a rhythm action game, so you're going to actually control it by beating on a drum.
That'll
so,
be €400.
So.
Oh,
they're
amazing. Speaking of which, I think that's the first year ever there hasn't been a rhythm action game, music game, in some shape or fashion.
I saw the Donkey Kong rhythm game.
Yeah, that was the retro section.
They've given up, man. They've realised that nobody wants those anymore.
All right, well, two things that I did that I really liked. A little gem, a wee unique gem of mine that I really loved earlier on this year, or late last year, was Guns, Gore, and Cannoli. And
what?
Guns, Gore, and Cannoli. It's a platformer.
Okay.
And you're a detective with sort of a that sort of weird Goodfellas accent.
Hey, I'm where,
yeah. And you're fighting zombies, platforming, shooting things, blowing stuff up. The zombies are coming to get you. There's blood, there's guts.
Bada bing, bada bang.
And when you pick up health, it's Cannoli.
Oh, a lot of cannoli.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So, so Guns, Gore, and Cannoli 2 is coming very, very soon. And it looks very, very similar, but they've iterated and made it better. And I can't wait for that.
I'm going to play this tomorrow. Yeah. I did not even see this.
Guns,
game.
Gore, and Cannoli 2. The first one is good. It's probably really cheap. The other one I played, I can't remember the name. I've got this card, but it's a Uridium remake. If you remember Uridium from Amiga, Commodore 64 days. It was a little shooter that you flew along the top of the spaceship and blew stuff up on the decks. And this guy has captured the essence of Uridium. And it's brilliant. The sound is a sort of a mix between Defender and Uridium, and has Space Invaders influences in there as well. Brilliant. So those are the two things that I really played, enjoyed today. Tomorrow, I want to get stuck into the racers. I want to have a go at, because Project Car 2 is here, I want to have another go at Gran Turismo. But it looks like the same demo as they have been showing for Donkeys. The Forza 7 thing, well, it's the same demo that was released this week, but the only difference is it's running on
Xbox One X.
X1X XDK kit, so I don't know how different it actually is.
In 4K, 60 frames a second, it's going to be amazing.
Shitty old TVs that got contrast.
Yeah, well, that's the trouble. The problem is they don't set them up properly, do they? They just stick them on.
No, because what was that thing,
Super Lucky Tales
was four TVs set up, and not one of the pictures in the row, four or six TVs, were set up.
They all look the same.
No, they didn't look the same.
Three looked pretty good.
One looked crisp and beautiful, and the other ones were dull and washed out. So I think these TVs could.
I think they'd spend 5 minutes just
500 quid.
Even just wanking it onto the game setting on the bloody, because all tellies got a game setting. They just turn on and put them onto that setting, so they all look after these,
don't they? Yeah. So there's a whole other range of people that come to these shows, and the ESL, the gaming leagues, are here in force this year. It's of no interest, seemingly to us. Twitch are there in force. There's a Destiny championship going on. There was a whole Nintendo big championship going on. Virgin are there with their Destiny championship. So there's a ton of people coming. We were laughing at the smelly shop people, the CEX guys. And I bet there were probably a team coming in to play Dota or something like that there tonight.
Yeah, maybe.
So you know, it is wide reaching. So the whole show.
Yeah. There's a couple of indie games I'd like to mention that I played today.
Okay.
One that Chini played for a little bit, I actually thought was really, really
because
good.
Because it was fucking shit.
No, it was really good. Called Shape of the World.
I liked it.
Which was procedurally generated. It had a really cool music soundtrack, and as you interacted with stuff, it got more complex.
I was only watching Stu play, and he had headphones on, and I was looking at it thinking, he looks pretty fucking shit. Yeah. But when you put the headphones on, like, he was still playing it, but I was listening.
Uh-huh.
And it does make a lot of difference and really put you in the game as you were listening to the music. That is perfect for a VR. I hate VR, but if they did that with VR and got you right in the zone, That'd be brilliant.
Where's our pilch? Who's taking
our pilch?
I know,
it was kind of
it's an arty-farty game where you're doing nothing in it. And you're,
no,
you're
it's
so
the way
about
the screen changed and the way the music changed with it, the whole environment.
Yeah,
there was more
shit.
To it. There was more to it than you first thought.
What's next? Indie games?
Yeah, indie. But there was more to it. It was good. There was like columns you interacted with, and when you activated them all, then like a bridge appeared so you could get into the next level.
So how do you feel compared to that other one that you looked at that was...
Well, it's weird you should mention that, because the other one I played was Zero North, Zero West.
Hold on.
What?
You can't get away with that.
What? You can get away with what?
No.
The show.
Shape of the world, yeah.
Right. You and I, it's fucking wanky.
It was good.
Right.
It was good.
No. It was good. So you go around,
it's Proteus 2.
Right. It is
Proteus,
but better.
You're on this stupid pink planet, right? And you walk around and, you go, and the music's like...
There was a cool whale, though.
Hey!
There was a cool whale.
Hey! Right, there you go. La, la, la. We're talking about Minecraft. Right, and then you walk around, you click on some trees, and the trees disappear, and you gain momentum as you click on the tree. That was it. It's fucking shit.
There was I didn't do the tree.
Were you actually clicking on things?
It was No Man's Sky minus the game.
No,
yeah.
I was clicking on the monoliths. That's what creates
the
bridges.
It's all boring. 365 days.
Yep.
Boring.
Game of the show!
I remember Game of the Show was... You were sitting in a Citroën 2CV6 on the edge
brilliant.
Of a cliff.
That was brilliant. I've never seen that. I've never seen
that
since.
Yeah, so
it was good.
Maybe it's the kiss.
That was
of
really
death,
good.
But the
other thing, yeah, the other one, Zero North, Zero West, was very similar.
Which
really had no interaction at all. You're just moving around in these.
It's like
space
an installation almost.
Yeah, well,
just.
But the guy was an architect. So he was a qualified architect and decided
you know
he
what?
I shouldn't be making games.
I'm just coming on my game with a game thing because he wanted to build these spaces in a computer that he had in his head, and that's what he did. So
and it had very different filters you could apply.
Yeah,
a lot of
different. On a sofa on a big telly, but I don't think that would work. But that first game we played,
yeah.
When he was literally got the screen, he was like,
"Who's this guy?"
Yeah. Sorry. What has happened to Pils? But anyway,
there was no music, no sound.
So I went back to him today, and he said he'd try and get it sorted for today, so I could have another go. And I went back today, and he still had no sound. So very kindly gave me his personal email address and said, "Look, send me an email. I'll send you a Steam code for
send me a new pitch."
So he's going to send me a Steam code. So I can play.
Anything else?
What else did I play today? Forgotten Anne. That was good.
Yeah,
I want to
see
it.
It looks brilliant. I played it last year.
Beautiful.
They extended the demo. I got stupid.
Is this that motion capture game?
No, it looks like anime, but it's a side scrolling platform.
But it isn't.
It's
not Japanese at all.
It's
not
Japanese.
No. But beautiful, beautiful game.
What's that like motion capture game that everybody keeps banging on about? It's like,
are you thinking of rotoscoping?
Is it rotoscoped?
I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking
about.
There's a game where it's like really story driven and like everybody's like, oh, it's really good. It's in the indie section. Res, I don't know. I'm surprised that she hasn't looked at it now.
I'm not seeing that now.
No.
But to be honest, the Forgotten Anne is the most Japanese, non-Japanese game I think I've ever played, because it is totally weird. You're playing this girl, there are scarves with glasses that talk to you and stuff.
And the idea is that there's a world that's built up of things that have been forgotten. So
yeah, you're trapped there,
And there's every sort of things that...
Fidget spinner there.
Probably.
Yeah. Pilch's found there.
He needs a fidget
spinner.
Speaking of... Whilst down there, Pilch.
Japanese weird and stuff. Chris, I'm really surprised that you didn't go straight for that racist game that you love so much by Studio Ghibli.
You know Kuni too?
Yeah, Kuni game, So,
well,
why did you not go?
Why
did
I do that? And that's
my mouth is wide open.
I don't even know what to say.
You never realised that I was such a racist game?
I'm
going
to be quiet.
We cut out his last year's comments as well. So
okay, I'm going to sip it on just in case we get into Golden One territory again. But
they're not racist. Tara has one.
That's all right then.
I like Marmalade as much as the next man. But
yeah.
Let's talk about New Guinea 2. Yeah, I did go and watch it. Loved the first game, played it, finished it, loved it. Really looking forward to this one. But it's the same with. It's my whole philosophy at EGX is if I know I'm going to play it, what's the point in playing it? I know I'm going to buy that game. I know I'm going to like it. I know I'm going to play it. If I buy it and don't like it, I'll be disappointed. But I'm not going to sit and play a section of it now. I can look at most games and know how you're going to play. and know, yeah, that's going to play like an action game or whatever. I don't necessarily need to play it to know it's going to be good. Sometimes, yeah, if you're on the fence, it's worth playing. But if it's a story-driven game, I don't want to spoil a section of the story. I don't want to spoil. I want to know things that are going to happen. I want to see it for the first time when I play it properly. So, to know. I didn't.
The other thing as well, right, about that is sometimes you're playing out EGX, and we have been known for this, to get slightly wrong. I never took Pucetta all the time because I was just having fun playing it. But
it is cool, Runes.
And it's kind of warranted. It's not a great place to play a game.
No.
Go, oh, yeah. It's brilliant because you might buy it thinking it's great, like Aliens Colonial Marines.
Oh, it's wicked.
It's
good.
Sorry, wrong now.
Evolve.
You know, so you're right, really. It's like, you do know if you're going
to
like a game.
The one thing I would say about it is that was striking to me because this game hasn't got any association with Studio Ghibli this time for whatever reason. They sort of stepped away from a few things and had a bit of a shake up, so they're not involved, but they have got some of the artists and whatnot on it, so still, and the guy with the music's the same as all their films, but they've done some weird stuff with the overworld map. When you're walking across the map, the character, the actual animation style, and it isn't the same as the sort of standard stuff. Yeah, the sort of, you know, really shiny sort of textures and 3D textures.
All the characters have been like little cutesy things.
Yes, yeah. But they also have that sort of weird, almost Donkey Kong Country sort of shiny textures on them, so that light's reflecting off them, rather than having like the sort of standard art that you get with the Studio Ghibli thing. That was weird to me. There is like a, I hadn't realised, but there's kind of like a strategy part to it as well. I spoke to some weird guy that was supposed to know what's going on with the game, but apparently you don't have to do that. There's like, yeah, there's strategy elements where you go around and recapture parts of the kingdom and stuff, but it's not part of the core game necessarily, so that doesn't really interest me. And like, it's unfortunate, why change it, but I guess they're trying to westernise it and just add more stuff into it. So yeah, it looks great. I want to play it. It's out in January, so don't need to play it now.
So tomorrow, what do we all want to play? Is there anything you apart from
PUBG?
PUBG.
Well,
just
okay,
PUBG.
Man's not hot.
Is it running on PC or is it running on Xbox?
It's the Xbox built on a PC.
Okay.
I'm saying it with a bit of irony.
I'm
fully aware that me queuing up for PUBG at EGX is very stupid.
Yes.
I'm very
Fraser's made you basically. Yeah.
But I'm a very stupid person. So but no, I think Battlefront tomorrow. I really want to try Battlefront 2.
Right, okay.
I'm tempted by Assassin's Creed Origins because I don't really pick up Assassin's Creed games anymore. I don't really have an attachment to them. So if I could play Origins and just try it out, I suppose I'm on the fence. That's a game that I'm on the fence with. I might not buy it. I might buy it. It all depends on like how it looks or you know what day it is. And if I get to the chance to play that might influence me.
Anybody else?
Sea of Thieves.
Because
I've seen nothing about it really.
Oh,
that seems
okay.
Interesting, but I love the concept of it of manning a ship and having a crew. Plus, it's a half an hour demo, so I think I definitely know if I want it or not after half an hour of the game. Because that's kind of a deficit as well. If you play 5 minutes of the game, you might see a good 5 minutes, but if you were to keep playing, you might find something shit.
Yeah, you'll need to have a team. You'll need to have people with you, other people there, and voice is very, very important. Voice chat is because it is. You know, we get four people in there. It'll be lots and lots of fun. But if you're there and by yourself, you might get a
bad,
you know.
Well, if you just did the insider thing on Xbox.
Yeah, so if you're on the insider program on Xbox, I've had builds of Sea of Thieves from January, and every couple of weeks there's a new one. And every weekend they switch on the servers and you can go and play. So it is interesting, but it definitely needs a team of mates. More so than Evolve. I mean, Evolve had to have that and somebody wanted to be the monster, but here there's no monster that way. It'll be a good fun thing.
Did you hear that about like PUBG is using the water physics from Sea of Thieves? Did you hear about that?
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah.
Because Microsoft gave a lot of cash and like Rare says, oh, your water's shit in PUBG, but our water in Sea of Thieves is wicked. Why don't you have the
PUBG.
PUBG
News,
everybody. PUBG.
Right. Well, I know I want my racers and all the bits and pieces. I want to rush in for Battlefront as well. I also picked up some nice merch today. There is some good merch stands.
Where is there any Dick Book mugs?
No.
Sorry, Fraser.
That's what I'm going to say.
You can rub it on my desk if you want.
It's funny, I was looking for Fraser for some PUBG merch. And I think I missed a beat there because there is no PUBG merch as I can see.
What would it be of? The logo or the loot crates, though?
It'd be the welding helmet.
Yeah.
Or a frying pan.
Frying pan.
Yeah, yeah, frying pan. Can you imagine that? Yeah,
yeah,
I love that.
Yeah,
like, yeah,
that'd be
cool.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
So when I picked up some bits and pieces, but the thing that I like the most that I picked up is an original OG Game Boy in grey, boring. But I wanted one of these again for a long time, and I picked one up, and it's cool. Tetris and Zelda. Ding! There we are!
Magic!
And it actually works. Right, so quickly touching on last night, we were at Mission Burrito, just off the canal there, and it actually worked out really well. I think we had a really, really good night.
Yeah,
we had the Nintendo advert. There were three Switches there, and we had at least
six players.
I can't believe it. We gave in to the corporate.
It was.
We sat around the table, and we played Mario Kart Tournament with six players. It was like a Nintendo advert, but everybody in it had lost... Just put a lot of weight on and lost their will to live. and we're just like, just, you know, white men.
Aaron wasn't there. It was really good.
And Antonio, I think, won nearly every race.
Yes,
won
every
race.
Yeah.
I don't brag about it.
You brought it up. I had to confirm the facts.
End of time is Phil.
So I think this is the start of something beautiful. I think next year we'll expand on this a bit more. Mission Burrito was a good location. We had a private room.
It was a
woman breathing, and she went, "Fuck this!"
Especially when you saw Chinny like sticking cameras everywhere.
Hey,
Bogus started pumping tunes out his phone.
Yeah.
Mexican tunes.
And hid mushrooms.
Mariachi.
Yeah, hid mushrooms.
Bongo hid mushrooms.
We had margaritas. I had all the margaritas, I think.
Yeah, too many margaritas.
Chris had some margaritas as well.
We had buckets of beer, good food, and good crack. It was good fun.
My shoes were off, just for the record, because I was setting up video cameras around the room. And I took them off because I wanted to stand on the chairs and I didn't want to, mess up.
But your smelly feet.
Yeah. I got my shoes off now.
That was good fun. And tonight, when we finish off here, we are off to grab a burger at Five Guys.
Yeah.
And then we're going to the Midlife Gamer Extra Life Party.
Knife and fork and a plate.
Oh, sure.
Look at Prince Harry over
The Mourner of the Year Award would usually go to Robin, but not. It's going this year to Bill Shrew.
Robin, you've got to step your game.
What have you been saying the last 6 months? We want to have sit down and have a nice meal.
We did last night.
I can't help you change
your
plans. We go to Five Guys and have some of them fucking great bag of them spicy old chips no one likes.
Anyway, after that we're going to the very, very classy Irish Centre. It's one of the nicest clubs in Birmingham.
Yeah.
And we're going to party.
Party!
We're going to party tonight.
You know,
sausage fest.
Tara picks me up.
Yeah.
Really, she picks me up. She goes, you don't come to that fucking Irish bar, are you?
It's probably the roughest club in the whole of Birmingham.
If there was nobody there, you'd want to come in a walk.
As cool as it is, it is an patch on that, and I mean this in the nicest possible way, but it is not a patch on the early MLG parties.
The Rolly Bar.
Yeah.
The pool tables.
No, the first one.
The O'Neill's.
Yeah.
I like the old Rolly Bar.
The
pool table.
That was great. Yeah, the pool table and then they were doing a quiz.
The raffle and the quiz. We don't bring it. They do.
So
it's always
good. It's always good.
It's a lot of work and I appreciate all the work they do, but I did enjoy it at the Rolly Bar.
Yeah,
it's a good night. We want to go back to London. That's when this even the Riley Bar to Birmingham.
Yeah, I mean, I like going to
London. I won that Splinter Cell special edition.
Oh yeah,
sold it for £15 and put it towards the Switch.
Ah,
yes, charity, baby, charity.
So hopefully that'll be a good night. As
they usually do, like the card, the Price is Right or some shit. Or
yeah. No, like the, what's the
card?
Play your cards right.
Your games right.
I think there is some merch for people to win tonight there. So we'll go along. Hopefully they'll raise lots of money. There'll be an auction for some really expensive stuff.
Cheap stuff that's expensive.
That will go down in history as the most expensive belt.
I might be on the picture tonight. I probably won't get it because I've already spent
$2,000 on these cameras.
Right, but like
yourself, mate. Yourself and the kids.
Anyway,
forget the kids.
I'm going to wind this up now. Any last thoughts on our time at the show?
No, it's just good. Like, I think there's been a few more people crept out of the woodwork. Like, we've met, like...
Big shout out to Darren last night that came along, who just discovered the Veteran Gamers podcast by random.
Darren, 18 I think months we met ago. Steve today. I forgot who's
there.
Filthy was there last night.
He's got a new stalker.
Yeah, new friend. Yeah. Who, incidentally, can I just say, and I mean this in the nicest possible way, but we have had a tweet off the guy who Ginny met today.
Very good.
Yeah,
let me know. Oh my god, I met someone famous.
No, it's actually better than that.
Everybody's thinking
he's
saying a
million.
Yeah.
He's not a hero.
As we know, Ginny is now a celebrity because, you know, he has been spotted by some random person who wanted his. Incidentally, I had his picture taken with him. As well,
and Ginny signed it. And
appeared to want to give him his wife. As
no,
well.
I think this is him.
I'm motorboating his missus.
I think this is him. But this is from G-Zone on Twitter.
Okay, G-Zone.
And he says, great bumping into you guys and pointing at ya. You all look younger in real life. Stay awesome. Love Graham.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah. That's lovely. Yeah. Lovely Graham. Lovely Graham.
We love Graham. So thank you, Graham.
That's very kind. We also bumped into Carl today.
We lost him. He was
Danson and the good guys there as well.
Carl. And Katie.
And
Kyle. Kyle. With us. The only reason they're not here is because they play PUBG. That was it. And that's the fucking worst message thing.
Brilliant.
It sounds like
I
a calculator just dies. It's terrible. And because Stu's stopping at Hotel Chin, all right? And like I hear it in the morning, so he goes. I wake up and he goes. It's horrible. It's horrible.
I want Nat. We're missing Nat because
he has
to take the kids home.
He's
got the kids off the pool and he's coming.
He's desperately WhatsApping us trying to find out where we are.
He's stuck in Birmingham now. We're going to go and find him.
Anyway, right, it's me, Robin Tate, at Bung with the Sane from the Overseas Connection podcast. Thanking all these guys. Just going to pass quickly around the table. You can get me at Bongo the Sean, and you'll see us on the Overseas Connection podcast every week. It's pretty good. So hi to the guys, Mark, Greg, Nicole, Kim, and Richard, and Pets, who never comes on.
And I was Chris. You can get me on the Boss Wave podcast. That's on Twitter, at Boss Wave. You can get me at ChrisMJW on Twitter if you really, really want to.
I'm Julius Rocker. You can catch me on the Yellow Podcast and the Entertain Nerds. And welcome. By the way, this is Andy's first time with all of us as well.
It is.
So you met someone else.
Yeah.
I know Andy. Me and Andy go way back. He gives me Lego things
that
I have
bestie.
To build. He says, "I'm only giving it you this Lego thing if you build it on the stream." So like last year he gave me a Lego thing, and this year he gave me a Star Wars thing. Mm. So Andy's the man.
All good.
Andy, where do we get you?
So I'm at another podcast. I ain't on Twitter, but I'm on the. I'm on our Twitch. I'll be streaming soon, hopefully. So.
Excellent. Panda Reviews.
Panda
right?
Reviews, yeah.
Panda Reviews. Stu.
Yeah, it's Stu, Veteran Gamers. I don't know. Find us, podcast, email shit. I've
heard of them.
Website.
Rob on Boss Wave and shit.
What he said.
Bill Cheese.
Boss Wave, guys. Wind us up.
I don't need to. People recognise me.
All I can say is
it pairs of knickers straight.
It happened once.
I've gotten back now.
I know it's a year away, but this is a really good social event. We have good fun together. And tonight at the Sausage Fest at the MGLX party, we'll also have a good time together, hopefully.
And karaoke.
Can we just say, by the way, before we forget, we did meet Simon and Steve today as well, so we should give them a quick mention.
Did we not do that?
We didn't mention Simon.
We didn't know Simon was.
He's got a good beard.
So you'll be listening to this podcast on whatever stream you want. It'll be on everywhere, and it's the only thing you're going to hear over the next couple of days.
Oh, yeah.
And thank you very much, everybody, for coming along to our almost professional
private room this time.
We've got a private room.
And hopefully the microphone was on.
And hopefully it's recorded.
And hopefully we got a video of the cock that someone drew on the little chair.
We're going to put that back so that when someone comes in to have a board meeting, they flip it up and it says Bongo's plan. That's for the Bongo's plan. There's a picture of a cock and balls.
I need a photograph.
And Pelcher's face with jizz dribbling on his face.
I need a photograph.
Yeah, we're...
Right, anyway, we're off to have beers and cheers and go balls deep with the Midlife Gamer guys. So,
thanks for listening.
Good night, everybody. Say yes, goodbye.
Get our podcast.
Podcast done. So, everybody,
complete.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, now.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So, check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.